Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. Episode 167 for the week of June 20th, 2022. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Before we launch into the data this week, I wanted to update one news item from last week. I had mentioned that Congress had passed the Ocean Shipping Reform Bill, which would give the Federal Maritime Commission more authority to regulate ocean shippers' business practices, including those with motor carriers. Well, that is now law of the land, as President Biden signed the bill last week. Okay, so this is where we have generally talked about diesel prices, at least over the last 3 months or so. Because of the federal holiday, prices were delayed by a day, and I pushed back my usual podcast recording a day because of that. Now, in the olden times, before March, I typically didn't do that, but in the current environment, it seems like the reasonable thing to do. However, on Tuesday, we got a notice from the Energy Information Administration that diesel and gasoline prices wouldn't be published that day either, due to a network issue that they are working expeditiously to resolve. So we're moving on with the podcast without diesel price data. It does make me wonder about fuel surcharges, though, since they are frequently linked to the latest EIA, or what's often called the DOE, national average price of diesel. If this issue were to drag on for another few days, I could imagine that it might prove somewhat problematic, especially if it turns out that there was a major move in diesel prices during the latest week. Anyway, good luck with that, all of you shippers, brokers, and carriers. And just a reminder that the latest data we do have is that diesel was at a record high of $5.718 a gallon. While we can't update diesel prices, we can talk about some of the factors that underlie diesel prices. Low stocks of distillate apparently have been a factor in the recent price hikes. For the second straight week, distillate inventories improved nationwide and on the East Coast, where the problem had been most severe. And whether those gains, which are still pretty small, will affect pricing remains to be seen. Meanwhile, crude prices remain quite high, but they have at least come down from the $120 plus per barrel prices we had been seeing earlier in June. West Texas Intermediate crude has closed below $120 a barrel every day since June 13th, although it had remained above $115 a barrel until Friday, June 17th, and that was a day in which crude dropped about $8 a barrel. In Tuesday's trading, though, crude rose about a dollar and is now back above $110 a barrel. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight. For the week ended June 17th, that's week 24 of the year. Van segment spot rates in the truckstop.com system barely changed during the week, but flatbed spot rates saw their sharpest drop since mid-November. Now, flatbed's recent rate strength, and you may recall that a couple of weeks ago it posted a record, appears to be running counter to other spot metrics, which had been cooling or at the very least stabilizing. The van segments have yet to show typical seasonal strength, but the largest gains generally occur in the back half of June, so there is still some time for both dry van and refrigerated to show some strength before what is typically the peak right before the July 4th holiday. Total broker posted rates decreased more than 7 cents. Spot rates in the system were less than 2% ahead of the same 2021 week. But FTR estimates that excluding an imputed fuel surcharge, rates would be down about 13% year over year. The broker posted rate is about 8 cents below the record. The rate excluding fuel surcharges is about 42 cents below the record. Dry-van rates were basically unchanged from the prior week. Rates, which are about 64 cents below the record level posted at the end of last year, were about 9% lower than the same 2021 week, but about 28% lower than that if we exclude an imputed fuel surcharge. Refrigerated spot rates were flat with the previous week. Those rates are about $1.20 below the record at the end of 2021 and are about 14% below the same 2021 week. However, if we exclude fuel surcharges, they're about 30% lower. And flatbed spot rates fell 8.5 cents. That is the largest drop since the April 2020 contraction, aside for a week in November last year. Rates are nearly 8% above 2021 levels, but nearly 6% lower than that week if an imputed fuel surcharge is excluded. Now, we really don't know why flatbed rates have been falling. I will be talking about one economic indicator soon that could be giving us a clue as to why we might be seeing less rate pressure, but it is just speculation. Okay, let's look at spot volume. Total load postings declined 1.5%. Volume was about 25% below the same 2021 week, but 42% above the five-year average for the week. The decreases in load availability were concentrated primarily in the Southeast and Midwest. Okay, let's look at volume by segment. Dry van load postings increased 4.9%. Volume was about 18% below the level posted in the same 2021 week, but nearly 36% above the five-year average for the week. Refrigerated volume declined 1.1%. Volume was more than 23% below the same week last year, but more than 53% above the five-year average for the week. And flatbed load postings decreased 5.5%. Volume was nearly 31% below the same 2021 week, but about 40% above the five-year average for the week. Let's wrap up the weekly indicators with a quick look at mortgage rates, which appear to react to the Federal Reserve's move to raise the target funds rate 0.75 point. That happened, of course, last week. According to Freddie Mac, the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage in the latest week surged by more than 0.5 point, marking the largest single-week gain since 1987. The rate of 5.78% is the highest since November of 2008. Higher mortgage rates appear to be a major factor in the downturn in home sales recently. In next week's podcast, we'll talk about sales of both new homes and existing homes in May. Now, obviously, this latest jump has no bearing on that data, but it certainly will be interesting to see what it means for June and beyond. Meanwhile, we do have data on the housing market, and we'll start our discussion of monthly indicators there. Months of weakening home sales and rising mortgage rates appear to be finally taking a toll on home building. Housing starts in May plunged 14.4%. That's the sharpest single-month drop since the lockdowns in April of 2020. The annualized rate of starts was the lowest in more than a year. Housing starts in May were running 1.4% below February 2020 levels, seasonally adjusted. And the outlook is not tremendously rosy. Permits authorized for future home construction fell 7%. That's the largest decline since September. However, permits are still running more than 16% ahead of February 2020. Meanwhile, builders appear to be making some progress in clearing out the backlog of homes. The number of home completions rose 9.1%. The number of homes under construction, however, did move higher, although only by 0.4%, and that is the smallest increase month over month since September of 2020. Okay, let's move on and talk about the industrial sector. Industrial production increased 0.2% in May, which is the smallest gain of the year. The Federal Reserve's Industrial Production Index, however, is the strongest on record. Gains in mining and utilities offset a 0.1% dip in manufacturing output. May was only the second month since September to see a decline in manufacturing production, and the other one, which was in January, was also just 0.1%. Let's break that down a little bit. Output in non-durable manufacturing increased 0.1%, but durables output declined 0.2%. Changes in either direction were rather small at levels below that. The largest declines in durable goods manufacturing were in wood products and machinery, both of which were down more than 2%. The strength in non-durables primarily was in petroleum and coal products, which were up 2.5%. Automotive output, which has been prone to fairly large swings month to month owing to supply chain issues, saw a modest gain of 0.7%. For the second straight month, motor vehicles and parts output exceeded pre-pandemic levels, although only by 1.2%. Industrial production in May was 4.4% ahead of February 2020. Manufacturing output was 4.5% ahead of that month. Retail sales saw some deterioration in May, but consumer spending on goods remains reasonably solid, given soaring inflation and the effects of a volatile stock market on consumer confidence. Overall, seasonally adjusted retail and food service sales declined 0.3%, as the effects of rising gasoline prices and weak vehicle sales basically canceled each other out. Excluding both categories of spending, retail sales barely changed, rising 0.1%. Rising prices are bolstering sales as presented in the monthly Census Bureau data, but data from the St. Louis Federal Reserve indicates that retail and food service sales adjusted for inflation fell 1.2% in May. That's not a particularly big decrease, but it is the biggest since December. Gas station sales, which were up 4%, and motor vehicle sales, which were down 3.5%, were by far the biggest movers in retail in May. Food and beverage stores sales increased more than 1%, while non-store retail and electronics and appliance store sales each were down more than 1%. A big portion of the increase in food and beverage store sales clearly results from price increases. Like gasoline, food prices saw big gains in May, according to detailed CPI data that we talked about in the last podcast. On a current dollar basis, retail and food service sales in May were 27.9% higher than they were during the pre-pandemic month of February 2020. Adjusted for inflation, sales were 13.6% higher. Finally, recall that last week we discussed consumer inflation. This week, we're talking about inflation at the producer level. The producer price index for final demand increased 0.8% in May. On an unadjusted basis, PPI final demand is up 10.8% over the past 12 months. Rising energy prices were a major factor in the producer price index gains in May. The diesel index was up 11.6%, and that factor likely bled through to the PPIs for freight transportation services. The general freight truckload producer price index increased 4.1%, the LTL index rose 3.8%, and the specialized long-distance trucking index increased 1.8%. Also, rail intermodal increased 1.7% after the record 8.1% jump in April. Meanwhile, the producer price index for freight brokerage fell 4%. It's hard to say month to month what causes those, but it is possible that the ongoing shift of activity back to the contract arena and from the spot market is playing a role in that. Okay, let's recap the key takeaways for the week. President Biden signed the Ocean Shipping Reform Act. Distillate inventories improved and crude prices declined modestly. Flatbed spot rates dropped sharply in the latest week. Mortgage rates surged to the highest level since 2008. Housing starts in May saw their sharpest drop since April of 2020. Industrial production ticked up in May. Manufacturing output increased slightly. Retail sales were mostly stable in May. Producer-level inflation accelerated, and costs for freight transportation services generally rose. Next week, we'll talk about sales of new and existing homes and recap the week in the spot market and diesel prices, assuming we have diesel prices by then. Plus, we will discuss, assuming it actually happens, an expected Supreme Court order on whether it will review California's AB5 law as it applies to motor carriers. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 167 for the week of June 20th, 2022. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.